Das kann sich nicht mehr recht geschlagen, wenn wir heute gesagt haben, dass es darf nun res. Die Mischung ist selber betreffend, wenn immer neues in Loha Köl Truma vechulu. Aber ich sage, mach like is when the daughter of a Koyan is marrying a Koyan. However, when it's a Yisraelis who's marrying a Koyan, everyone would agree you have to give her at least 50% of her support, not in the form of Truma. Because she's not used to, she needs for the Hirmei Tuma. Abai also said the machlik is also is only regarding an arusa. However, in a suwa, all would agree he has to give her at least 50% of her support, not in the form of truma. A b'raisa brings machlokes to Rav Tarfon and Rabbi Akiva and qualifies it the way that Abaya qualified it. The b'raisa then brings the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira that he can give her 2/3 truma and a third not truma. Rabbi Yehuda says he may give her all truma and she then sells it and buys non truma with the money that she gets from selling the truma items. Rav Shimon Gamliel says when she's given truma, it must be in double the amount that she would have gotten of the non truma. The difference between these last two sheetas is Rabbi Yehuda would say that she has to go back and forth. She has to go and look for the best price of the truma so that she can have enough money to buy what she needs. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that we give her a lot more truma to allow her to be able to set the price at a very low level so she can make a quick sale and still be able to make enough money to support herself with regular chulin. The Mishnah said, "Yavam einay machil b'truma." The Mishnah says this is based on the fact that only kinyan kaspe of a koyim may eat truma, and this woman is not the kinyan kaspe. This Yavam's kinyan kaspe. It's the kinyan kaspe of his brother. The Mishnah said, "Asisa shishah radashim b'fnei habal." In fact, if we say that even when she was 12 months with the husband, she doesn't eat truma, then surely if she spent 12 months with the Yavam, she would not be allowed to eat truma. So why do you have to mention that case? The Mishnah says, the Mishnah is saying, "Zu vein sarich loy mezu." It means it mentions it, although there's no real reason to mention it. The Mishnah says, why did Lady Bezin say that she can't eat truma until she enters chuppah? So Ula or Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, we're concerned that she'll find a mum that will retroactively nullify the kedushin. According to Ula, the change in halacha is understandable because originally the only reason an arusa didn't eat truma from her husband who was a kain, because she may give truma to eat to her siblings, but once the 12 months arrived, she would no longer. You don't have that fear anymore because she's given a designated area with her support items to that no one else should take from there. However, the later Bezin said that we have to be concerned for a mum as well, and they therefore changed the halacha. However, according to Rav Shmuel Yehuda, who said that the concern all along with an arusa, with a regular arusa, is based on a mum. So what does that mean? The halacha changed from earlier on to this later Bezin. Where it said the earlier Bezin held an examination done by his female relatives removes a concern for a mum, whereas the later Bezin said that it does not remove that concern for mum. Zuck the Mishnah, if a man declares that his wife's bare minimum earnings, meaning the minimum amount that she has to earn, if he says they should be hegdish, it's not effective and she keeps the earnings for her own support. If he declares the amounts above the minimum amount that she has to earn, and he says those amounts above the minimum amount, that's hegdish, or Meir says it becomes hegdish, Rechon Asandla says it does not become hegdish. Zuck the Gemara, who in the name of Rav said, a woman can tell her husband, Efshi, I don't want to take support from you, but you will not get my earnings. Meir says he holds that the main institution, was to support the wife, and the earnings are given to the husband so that he doesn't hate her for earning money while he's supporting her. Therefore, if she doesn't want to get supported, she also is allowed to keep her own earnings. In fact, Mar Bryce says that Rabban instituted her getting supported in return for her giving him her wages, not the other way around. Mar says, change the words of the Bryce to read the reverse. In fact, our Mishnah says that the husband can't be magdish her minimum required earnings. Presumably, this is referring to where he's willing to support her. And still, she may say that she doesn't want to support and therefore keeps her earnings. This is a proof to Rav Huna. Mar says, the Mishnah may be talking about a husband who is not able to support his wife. However, in a case where the husband can, it may not be up to the wife to say that she doesn't want to be supported. In fact, Mar, if the case is where she's not being supported, it's obvious that she would keep her own earnings. Mar said that part of the Mishnah is obvious. It's the next part of the Mishnah that's the Chiddush, that where the Mishnah says that regarding the amounts earned over the minimum required amount, Rav Meir says it becomes Hegdish, Rav Yechanan Salna says it remains Chulin. The Gemara says that Rav Huna must argue in Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says that the reason Rav Meir says it becomes Hegdish is not because a person can be Magdish something which has not yet come into this world. Rather, it's because he holds that since the husband can force the wife to give him her earnings, he can be magdish them. We find that Rav Meir does hold that one can be magdish something which is not yet in the world. Mar said, yeah, we see from other places that he does. Bereish Lakish was saying that from our Mishnah, there's no proof that he holds that way because his reasoning may be based on something else. The Mishnah said, "Hamoiser, Rav Meir, Oimer Hegdish." At what point does it become Hegdish? Rav and Shmuel both say that it becomes Kedish after her death, when the husband inherits it. Rav Adbar Rahava says it becomes Kedish as soon as she makes this excess. Her Papa asked, if the case is that she's being supported as she should be, then why would the excess money first become Kedish after her death? If the case is that she's not being supported as she should be, then why would the money become Kedish as soon as she makes this excess? The Gemara explains, a husband is supposed to give his wife support and give her an additional mi'ah, certain amount of money for her additional needs. The case is where he gave her support without the additional ma'ah. Rav and Shmuel hold that the Rabbanah instituted support in exchange for her basic earnings, and the ma'ah that he has to give her, that's in exchange for her excess earnings. Therefore, since he didn't give her the ma'ah, she does not have to give him the excess earnings. Rav Adbar Hava holds that the support is in exchange for the excess, and the ma'ah is in exchange for her basic earnings. Therefore, since he gives her support, the excess earnings are his. The basis of Machloikis is that Rav and Shmuel said the Rabbanah instituted the exchange of something that's common for something that's common. So it's support for her basic earnings. Rav Adbar Hava says the Rabbanah instituted something of a fixed amount for something of a fixed amount. And therefore, it's the ma'ah for the basic amount of earnings. Vekmar Brisa says that support was instituted in exchange for her earnings, which seems to mean her basic earnings. Mar says the Brisa means to say the excess of the earnings. Vekmar Mishnah says if the husband does not give his wife the ma'ah, her earnings belong to her. Mar said again, understand this to mean the excess of her earnings.